listen to this.
Because
it could save your life.
Yeah, that's right. Welcome to the show, all 11 of you. We're going to do some weird facts, some weird stories, and just, in general, a lot of other interesting things to distract you from, you know, all of this that's going on.
Yeah.
How is the this where you're at, James? You're in St. Louis. I'm in Boston.
Kind of a holding pattern, as best as I can tell.
Yeah.
Everything seems to be about equally shitty.
Yeah.
It's been for a while.
Yeah. Well, I know it's like we've gotten into a weird thing here in the Northeast where we have it under control because it was so bad so early here that we take it very seriously. And because of that, we've gotten kind of smug. We've gotten a little smug. I've noticed that. It's just kind of like, oh no, the Midwest has it. Well, whatever are they gonna do? And I'm just like, they'll probably be fine. You know, there are hospitals in the Midwest, right? Like, you know, some farmers' hospitals. You know,
doctors with rusty saws.
Yeah. So I actually
you can't amputate.
I went to New York 2 days ago. To New York City.
New York City.
I did. And it was exactly like you would think New York City would be. It was loud. It was congested. It was pretty awesome. It was filled just with this different kind of energy. It was like that energy was depression. That's the energy they were going for in New York City. So anyway, we are going to do some weird facts, some great facts. I have some stuff about how probably the most famous children's author of all time got his start and learned to write children's books thanks to the Japanese and Nazis in World War II. James, what do you have? Some weird facts for you.
I have a school near you that has a very interesting certificate program that you can get.
Okay.
I have the long and storied history of an occupation known as knocker upper.
Okay.
Which is not as fun as it sounds.
not nearly, no.
And I have a fact about surgeons.
Oh, all right. Facts about surgeons. But first, it's time to do the thing that a lot of you come here for in the first place, cameo reviews. This week, we are going to review the cameo of Chris Hansen. Chris Hansen from To Catch a Predator and from Lawsuits, because remember that not everybody on To Catch a Predator was guilty. And one of those guys went home and killed himself because everybody thought he was a pedophile.
Yeah, he did.
I'm not saying they were good guys or anything like that. I'm just saying the whole premise of that show was, hey, these guys have been set up, and it's funny because they're pedophiles. And there's a justice system. You know what I'm saying? I also had a problem with, there was this show called Bait Car. I think it was something like that. And
yeah,
it was like a car that was set up on the street. And
yeah,
if you got into it, then, oh, they were going to get you. And I was always kind of like, they left a Lamborghini running on the street. I would be hard pressed to just pass that up. Like, it's just open. Like, the guy gets out of it, leaves it running. I'm just saying. Now, it's a little different with To Catch a Predator because they were underage children.
Yeah, when you show up with KY and a box of condoms,
then you're guilty.
Kool-Aid Cool Burst
then
and Zima.
Yeah. And your
argument... you take the Zima and you put the Kool-Aid Cool Burst in it, and then all your problems just kind of melt away.
Doesn't that dilute the Kool-Aid?
Yeah, it does.
The thing is, when the guy showed up with KY and Zima, it was obvious they were up to no good. And also when their excuse was, hey, I was just going to talk to her because
there's a bunch of creeps out there.
She is putting herself at risk and I'm looking out for her and you're judging me for doing that. I was just going to show her how bad things could go by putting her in my naked puzzle basement. All right. So. It's Chris Hansen for only $50, which is kind of incredible. You can get Chris Hansen from To Catch a Predator MSNBC fame to say things like this.
Screening.
Oh, hold on.
Zach Beck. Why does that name sound so disturbingly familiar? Maybe because your secret screen name is Beckbone69. What do you mean by Beckbone? 69. Zach, Chris Hansen here of Hansen versus Predator is to catch a predator and have a seat with Chris Hansen. Now, Zach, I'm going to need you to have a seat right over there. We're going through some transcripts.
So basically, the premise of this is pedophiles are hilarious, and your friends will think it's hilarious when you have a man accuse them of being pedophiles?
That seems to be the niche that he's playing into.
Like, honestly, if it were it not the most horrifying thing you could accuse somebody of, then I think that it would be funnier. Like, if Chris Hansen did, I don't know. If you did, like, somebody, Robert Stack's dead, but if you had Robert Stack from Unsolved Mysteries sit down and
update
and accuse your friend of being Bigfoot or of anally probing people as Bigfoot, then that would be fine. That would be hilarious.
It's not the foot you got to worry about.
But the fact that this guy's like, so, your friends tell me that you rape children. Like, that's so much worse.
I don't like what I see. You know, Zach, we're still climbing out of a pandemic. You're still supposed to be socially distant, flattening the curve, not going online and saying things and doing things and claiming that you scored a 33 on your Wonderlic test. But the transcript here clearly says 15. 15. 15 will get you 20. Hmm. You know what I mean. Anyway, I also see that you...
By the way, I know his whole shtick is shitting down predators, but doesn't he sound like a creep?
I don't remember his voice being that...
That creepy.
That much of an affect and that much of undulation of... Yeah.
Right. Like, if this guy was talking to me, I'd be like, are you asking me where to pick up 15-year-old girls? Because it seems like you're really into this, Chris.
No, that's what I meant when I said 15 will get you 20. I'd give you a $20 bill and tell you where to find a 15-year-old.
Got the 10th pick overall in the draft for fantasy football. Good luck with that. Behave yourself, Zach. And if you can, I'll let you go. You don't want to be calling David Cook for bail money. I'll see you soon on the TV and my YouTube channel with new investigations.
Okay, please. And then he gets his... See, that's what bothers me. The few cameos that I've done or ordered for people, they've never, like, used it as a platform to plug their stupid shit that nobody wants to watch in the first place. And I didn't pay you $50 to promote your thing. That's stupid. I know you're doing this to promote it, but it's only one guy that you're reaching anyway. Right? Like, I...
Unless they make it big time on your show.
Right. I don't know. It seems to me like Chris Hansen is just this far above calling random people. I would say in the phone book, but I guess you... I don't even know what that is anymore. Calling random people, just dialing numbers in his phone and be like, hey, it's Chris Hansen. Please watch my show on YouTube. Please watch my show. Because that's the audience you're reaching. That's the audience you're reaching, is one person. The few cameos I've done, all they did was ramble nonsensically. Like the one I did for you, Kevin McDonald from Kids in the Hall. Maybe he plugged the fact that he was in Kids in the Hall, but it wasn't even a plug. He was just saying, hey, you should watch Kids in the Hall. That's a much better thing than my dumb role in The Ladies, Man, which is a horrible movie.
It's not, though. It's a fun movie.
Yeah.
It's dumb, but it's fun.
You know, I was surprised watching when To Catch a Predator was big. I'm surprised nobody did it just for the fame. Because you had all these people that would go on American Idol and make fools of themselves just for the small brush of fame. Yeah. Just to get within, you know, a snail's pubic hair of fame. And that was enough for that. You would think there would be people out there, and I wonder if that did backfire. Like, there are people like, this girl says she's 13, okay, which is awesome, because I'm pretty sure I'm gonna be able to be on with Chris Hansen. Then my album's gonna get out there, guys. It's gonna be huge.
Now also, don't you still have to sign over
a waiver?
Your rights? Yeah.
I don't know. If I remember correctly, on that show they did blur out a lot of faces.
Okay.
So maybe
it's been a while, so maybe I'm yeah.
So, all right, that's cameo review. $50 is a very cheap price for Chris Hansen. However, I don't think it's worth it to make your friends think it's especially there'd be like that one friend that'd be like, that was really funny. That was really good. So if you ever go,
what are
on...
you doing with that? What are you doing with that brush and that bottle of soap and
nothing?
And
nothing.
Your external hard drive.
Nothing.
Scrubbing
nothing,
it.
Nothing. Scrubbing it. Yeah. By the way, if you guys ever use my laptop, the folder that says NFL stats is just NFL stats. That's all that is. It's just the statistics on the NFL. Not a specific team. Just the league. When it was founded, average salary cap per player, coaches' names in alphabetical order, things like that.
Nothing interesting.
Nothing interesting.
You wouldn't even
just NFL statistics that you might like. All right, now it's time to get to the facts.
So really only worth it if you kind of want to low-key accuse one of your friends of being a...
More or less, yes. Yeah. Not otherwise, then what are you even doing? Like, unless you have the kind of friend where you can accuse them of straight up raping children. I mean, who doesn't? Okay. My first fact is this. Dr. Seuss, during World War II, worked on a propaganda film series.
Slash training video, it looked
right.
Like.
With Chuck Jones and Mel Blanc. Chuck Jones, if you don't know, is the guy that basically made Bugs Bunny who he is. And all, when you think of classic Looney Tunes cartoons, it's Chuck Jones. He had his own kind of style, and everything just kind of...
He's the animator?
He's the animator, and he... Well, he had... It's with animation, like, he drew the characters and was like, draw them this way. So he wasn't like the one animating every single one. But his style is what made them look like that. It's why if you watch The Grinch Who Stole Christmas, you're like, this looks a lot like a Looney Tunes cartoon. So it's Chuck Jones did that too. So way before those three people worked together on The Grinch, though I don't think Mel Blanc was on there, they worked together on this thing called Private Snafu. Private Snafu was the title character of a series of black and white American instructional adult animated shorts that were produced between 1943 and 1945. The films were designed to instruct service personnel about security, proper sanitation habits, booby traps, and other military subjects, and to improve troop morale. Primarily, it was this guy, Private Snafu, who... would be doing things like he would be writing a letter to his girlfriend and he'd say, I'm pretty sure they're shipping us off to the South Pacific because I just got a malaria shot. And then it would show what happens when that happens. Actually, here's audio of that specific scenario. What would happen in that scenario is the Japanese would find out and then this. Okay, nobody said they weren't racist, and you should have expected that. Okay, so before you sit there and go, whoa, I can't believe he's playing, why would you expect it not to be racist? It was 1943. We were fighting the Japanese. I told you that it's what would happen when the Japanese found out about Snafu and where he was going. You should have expected that, and don't be angry at me.
Cut in Tokyo.
By the way, not real Japanese. I don't know if you know that. That was Mel Blanc, also, you know, Bugs Bunny and every other voice in Looney Tunes. That was Mel Blanc doing a horrifyingly racist caricature of a Japanese soldier. Now, the thing is...
It was okay. We were at war with them.
Right. I want to discuss this point real quick before I move on with the fact. Obviously, not okay by our standards today. But do we give them a break? Like, if I wanted to show this in class or on a podcast, play the audio. If I wanted to show this... Would it be wrong because it would be encouraging stereotypes, or would it be fine if I said, look, this is, we are at war, we're very angry, and look at the way we drew Germans. It's just that it doesn't come off as racist because they're white too, I guess. I don't know.
It's a relic of its time.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
It's the same people that want to say you can't teach Tom Sawyer or Huck Finn.
Right. But it's that's how they talked. It's kind of important to know that. And yeah, it's important to know that back then they, if you thought that it sounded racist, by the way, you should look at it.
all these are public domain, by the way. They should be readily available on YouTube.
Yeah, they are available on YouTube. Yep. If you're interested,
if you're interested in
Private Snafu on YouTube, you can find it. Now, here's the interesting thing, though. Being in World War II and making those Private Snafu films, much of which were designed for, none of them, by the way, designed to be released, but all of them designed for adults in the military. Dr. Seuss and Chuck Jones all both said that it taught them how to make better content for children because they learned how to speak to a broader audience and, I don't know how to put this, dumb things down a little bit. Not saying that people in the military are dumb at all, but knowing that they had to get the point across in the simplest terms possible, they learned
to as many people as possible.
They learned
different
how to keep
backgrounds,
it,
yeah.
Keep it simple, and also how to send a convincing message about something that you should be doing in a simple way that got through to people, and it did.
Often using humor.
Another thing that is interesting about that is Dr. Seuss also worked with another artist at the time named Stan Lee. They worked on VD posters together, and Stan Lee was very proud of his VD poster. He claimed that it won World War II because guys weren't getting VD. His poster just had a guy standing there with the thought bubble that said, VD, not for me. Which I love you, Stan, but what? Like, what exactly? Because I don't. That's not the most clever thing I've ever heard of. Also, would anybody be sitting around thinking to themselves, you know what? I want to get venereal disease.
I could go for that.
I'm not going to. I'm not gonna. Nobody thinks like that. They think, yeah, there's probably a chance I could get it, but it's totally worth it to get in those britches.
I'm gonna go out and try and get some crotch rot today.
Right.
Yeah. That'd hit the spot.
Good old-fashioned crotch rot.
If the listening audience in general is not fully aware, SNAFU is an acronym for Situation Normal All Fucked Up.
Technically, it's all fouled up, according to Chuck Jones.
Did you watch that?
All fouled up, yeah.
The introduction thing where they're talking about it, they go, Situation Normal All
Fouled
Up.
Yeah. It's cute. They didn't have the word fuck back then. That was invented by hippies in the 1960s. It's true.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's a bonus fact there.
All right, James, what's your first fact?
Okay. Until the 1970s in some areas, this is in England, many workers were woken by the sound of a tap at their bedroom window. On the street outside, walking to their next customer's house would be a figure wielding a long stick. The knocker-upper was a common sight in Britain, particularly in northern mill towns, where people worked shifts, or in London, where dockers kept unusual hours, ruled as they were by inconsistent tides. They used to come down the street with their big long poles, remembers Paul Stafford, 59-year-old artist, who was raised in a shop above Oldham. I would sleep with my brother in the back room upstairs, and my parents slept in the front. The knocker-upper wouldn't hang around either, just three or four taps, and he'd be off. We never heard it in the back, though it used to wake my father in the front. The standard instrument was a long fishing rod-like stick. Other methods were employed, such as soft hammers, rattles, and even pea shooters. So, there was a job before there were alarm clocks, and people needed to wake up. And you're getting away from agrarian, like, okay, the sun's up, you go out, you work, you get tired, the sun goes down.
Right. You didn't really pay attention to what hour it was, yeah.
Right. So you have a shift, and apparently started out as there were just people that were naturally night owls, and they're like, hey, I got to get up at this weird-ass time. Knock on my door and wake me up, and I'll pay you. And they're like, okay, cool.
Wasn't that originally how that Evanescence song went?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Knock me up.
Wake
Knock
me up.
Knock me up for work.
Yeah, wake me up and I'll pay you. Anyway, go ahead.
So initially they would like knock on your door to wake you up, but inside, they figured out people were getting it for free.
What?
Like, if you had multiple people living in, like, a tenement.
Oh.
So, like, one person would pay, and everybody would reap the benefits.
Okay.
or get woken up at a time when they didn't need to be woken up. So they got hip to it, and they devised this system with a stick where they'd rap on your window.
Ah.
And then just keep pushing.
Capitalism is what that is. See, you want people getting your shit for free. And we don't live in Bernie Sanders' America where you can just have anybody just come and tap on the window. No, this is only tapping on the window for the 1%. That's how that works.
Charles Dickens referenced it in Great Expectations.
So it was also around features for that long?
Yeah.
I would have thought that would have went away once they had the chimes from the clock going off or something, or you know, the clock tower, the Big Ben, but apparently not. It's a weird thing though. Like, okay, so there was the knocker upper, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who was waking up the knocker upper?
Well, that was the thing is, there's actually a song about it, but it was generally people who just were naturally nocturnal.
Uh-huh.
So they'd be up anyway and they'd sleep through the day.
Ah.
So, you know, your average run of the mill drunk.
I gotta be honest with you. You hear a lot of about jobs back then, and like there were jobs where like being a tanner meant just bathing in dog piss all day to get the sheen on the beef,
the leather
skin just right. Yeah, there's, you know, you could work at a bathhouse where you're just like unplugging drains full of shit all day. Knocker upper isn't that bad. Knocker upper seems pretty nice. Other than you probably get blamed because if you can't snooze that shit. So no. If the person doesn't wake up, what do you do? Just say, go on,
hey,
and
says,
"Hey, I knocked on it. What are you gonna do?"
There's a picture of a little old lady wearing a coat with a lantern and a big long stick in her hand, and it says, "Granny Cousins knocked up Poole's residence between 1901 and 1918.
That's right, she did. Oh, Granny Cousins.
Poole. Granny Cousins. That's a niche genre too.
What? Granny Cousins?
Granny Cousins?
Oh my God. Barely Granny Cousins. So it's
that's
women.
How you get a Chris Hansen cameo.
That's I want to watch Barely Granny Cousins, where they're just barely grandmothers, and they're like fifth cousins.
It's not that weird. It's not that weird when you put those caveats on it.
They're like 54-year-old women that are your fourth cousin, maybe third if we're getting if we're going for the extra X, you know.
Mm.
All right, my next fact is Grima. Do you know what Grima is?
Not off the top of my head.
So Grima is the Spanish word for scraping your fingernails on a chalkboard. It's the sound of chalkboard scraping. And there have been studies on that scraping noise and why it bothers human beings so much. And I love stuff like this because it's so fascinating to me. Like, for instance, I don't know that this is true, but it makes sense when you think about it. Why are thunderstorms calming? And I realize it's because if it's raining outside, then the predators are hiding from the rain too. So you get to sleep knowing that you're safe because they're not going out in this, you know, no matter how hungry they are. They're not going out in this mess. Well, this, the reason that the scraping noise bothers people so much is apparently it is similar to the same sound that macaw, is that how you say macaw monkeys? Macaque? Macaque monkeys. You know, my cock monkeys. How do you say this?
I think it's macaque.
Macaque monkeys. That doesn't sound much better. Anyway, it's the sound macaque monkeys would make when they were distressed or alarmed, so they would warn other macaque monkeys about it, and also any other primates that were in the area would have to worry about this predator coming in. In fact, like, the sounds are pretty much exactly the same. So they think that that might be why it bothers us, because it's just a sound that we have retained fear of throughout the years, which is kind of fascinating. Like, all of that stuff just goes back to the fact that we are not more evolved than we were a million years ago. We think we are, and that's adorable, but we're not. And when you think we are, you need to go to a Walmart. That's basically my advice, yeah.
Yeah, turns out it's macaque.
Macaque monkeys. So I decided I would look up what are the 10 most annoying sounds in the world and make a video compilation out of them. And here we go. That was a dentist drill.
Okay, kind of thought that, yeah.
Yeah. Think it. Oh, God. It. You know what? The sound itself doesn't bother me.
It's when it hits, it makes contact.
The bone grinding sounds, like parts. That's what bothers. Oh, those parts. Ah! Okay, skipping ahead. See, that's not baby's a baby crying. That's babies crying.
Yeah.
Right? That's two. They're harmonizing. Okay? That is horrible. I'm immune to it now.
You worked retail, but I don't. You like stocked overnight, didn't you?
Yeah. I didn't really work retail.
There was a phenomenon that I noticed in retail and then in certain restaurant industries. Like if you had kind of a busy day going on and one kid started crying, you could get like a sympathy strike situation going.
Oh, really?
Like when one dog starts barking and all the other dogs will start barking. I saw it. Like it didn't happen all the time, but it happened periodically, and it's like,
they're all going off.
They're in this together.
Well, I think if one baby hears another baby crying, they're like, oh, God, what's that baby upset about? I don't know what they're upset about, but if that baby's upset, then I got a problem, too. Next one is an angle grinder. That's not very interesting because who cares? Then this is the number 7. Just women screaming. Just turns me on a little bit, really. I don't... I'm just kidding, Chris Hansen. Leave your goddamn roast on Cameo. That's the nails on the chalkboard.
Okay.
Which apparently also, I know you were sitting there thinking, oh, well, that's obviously a macaque monkey. Oh, God. And that is the most annoying sound in the world to me. It's my dog barking at Amazon delivery people. Okay. An alarm wristwatch. How is that even bothersome at all? That's number 5. That bother me.
I mean, I guess if it kept going. That's like a car alarm. If it keeps going, it's problematic. But if it,
you know the thing about car alarms are, how are they alarms anymore? Have you heard a car alarm going off and thought, oh my God, that person's getting their car stolen? Ever? No. You've heard a car alarm go off and go like, turn your fucking car alarm off.
Some idiot just sat on his keys.
Yes, some fat moron with just fingers for assholes, whatever. I read one time that you should keep your keys next to your bed, so if somebody breaks into the house, you hit the car alarm, and that'll scare them off. I'm like, if they're not afraid to come into my house in the middle of the night, I don't think they're going to be bothered by a mild annoyance like my car alarm. But, you know, sure, I'll try anything. All right, wristwatch. Okay. Just the buzzer sound.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, it's not really the, yeah. This is according to a study, the most annoying sounds. I think people were spamming the lower sounds so that they didn't seem like they were annoyed by the same sounds as everyone is. Like, I could see somebody saying, like, oh, no, buzzer sound bothers me because I'm not a fucking loser, all right? When that buzzer sounds, that means that there's a chance I might have lost, and I'm a winner.
That's all I do. All I do is win.
Yeah, I get this one. The snoring. I'm not a bad snorer, but occasionally my wife wakes me up by kicking me in the back and yelling at me that I'm snoring, and she does it in the angriest way possible, and she doesn't realize how angry she's being. It's never like, sweetie, wake up. Sweetie, hey, John, you're snoring. It's always like, wake up! God damn it! What is wrong with you? What? You're snoring again. I'm going to shove a tennis ball down your throat. Okay, I'm sorry. Sorry.
I don't think that'll help.
I think that would make the thing worse. She will claim that no, she very gently wakes me up because in her head, me snoring justifies blowing my head off with a shotgun.
A European siren, too.
Yeah. And then that. Just the high-pitched. And by the way, if you couldn't hear that, congratulations, you're going deaf. If you could hear that, then congratulations, you're in your 20s. So, yeah, those are the most annoying sounds in the world. None of them really bother me that much, but then I work in an environment where I have to use annoying sounds to my advantage a lot. So, you know.
Woo!
Let's say that.
Give it a couple years. I think the bass drop will be on there.
Oh, oh, God. Like, you, from, like, every EDM song?
Yeah.
Boom. Yeah, yeah. Just, you know what? It's not the bass drop. It's the silence that precedes the bass drop before everything just goes crazy. And you're just like, oh, God, here it comes. Here it comes. Mark my words. 10 years from now at dance clubs, there'll be a bass drop, silence, followed by just blasting of Baby Shark. That's going to happen. It's going to happen.
And then that really, really awful beep, 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 beep.
All right, James, what's your second fact?
Mine is about the Massachusetts Institute of Technology.
MIT, I know
yeah.
it.
Yeah, your neck of the woods. Uh-huh. You can get a pirate certification from MIT.
A pirate certification from Matt? Really?
Yes.
It's, I mean, I could see that if it was, well, let's be honest, UConn. All right. Yeah. I don't know anything. I don't know. I don't know anything. I don't know.
The MIT Pirate Certificate has been available, became available in the fall of 2011. Students who have completed archery, fencing, pistol or rifle, and sailing should send an email to this person with name and MIT ID number once grades are posted for all four courses.
So
MIT Pirate Certificate is designed to recognize the completion of the undergraduate physical education and wellness general institute requirement. MIT Pirate Certificate is only made available to MIT students and is an incentive for undergraduate students to complete their physical education and wellness general institute requirement of four physical education and wellness courses. It is not a standalone certificate. Non-MIT courses and life experience are not counted towards completing of the certificate. The MIT Pirate Certificate is for entertainment purposes only and does not give the recipient license to engage in piracy or any pirate activities.
Okay. I honestly, I don't. So it's basically saying you get it, but you don't engage in any pirate activities, even though we've literally granted you permission to be a rapist, robbing murderer on the high seas. Don't take it seriously. We're MIT.
It's a way to get nerds to go to PE.
Ah. Why would you even have PE in college, you know? Like, what's the point? It's like, I went to... Okay, so I do not have a degree from the college I went to for radio. I got a job, and so I stopped going to class because, you know, I went there long enough to get a job, and then I didn't need to go there anymore. If I wanted to go back, though, and get my degree, if I'm one of those weirdos, those completionist kind of weirdos who's like, no, I'm nothing if I don't have a piece of paper, then I would need to complete a math course.
Mm-hmm.
I've been doing radio professionally now for over 10 years. Math never has ever factored into it. Other than knowing what time it is, math has never been an issue. It's never mattered, not once. Not once. I've never had to add anything up. I used to have to add up songs to do something we call back timing, but now the system does that for me, so I don't even need to do that anymore. I don't know. I don't know what the math is for. And even then, the math that I need for radio is basic addition and subtraction. That's it.
Right.
Yeah.
No algebra, no long division.
Yeah. I just need to know we're 5 minutes from the top of the hour. That's all I need to know. I need to get out before then, otherwise the meters reset and my quarter hour's fucked. You know, that kind of thing.
But you know what a quarter is.
Yeah. Ooh. Thank you, college. Wouldn't have known that.
And a quarter of an hour is different from a quarter of a dollar. Anyway, yeah, you can become a certified pirate at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, but you got to go through the whole 4-year undergrad thing. So.
But I don't want to. I want to just be a pirate.
No, they don't offer that.
You know what they're just encouraging me to do? Go in there and steal my piracy degree. I'm going to get a whole bunch of other guys. We're going to go to the MIT.
I mean,
we're gonna
if you hold them at... If you hold them at Cutlass Point, they'll probably give it to you.
We're going to jump on board to MIT with cutlasses between our teeth and take what's ours.
I think you'll be wanting to give me that pirate certificate.
We're going to get to my final fact, but first I want to tell you guys about Cody Akins at AkinsPCRepair.com. He just extended his shop, so he has more room to work. He has more room for refurbished PCs. He has more room for you to browse and more room to just feel comfortable. Because honestly, Cody, he was in a smaller shop, and I always felt when I went in there like it was kind of cramped because you guys were bringing him so much work. And fortunately, you guys did bring him so much work that now it's overflowing and he's able to add a new addition. So thank you for that. And Cody even wrote a post on my Facebook page thanking the 11 for bringing him so much business. So I want to thank you guys, too, for helping out our sponsor. If you have a computer that sucks, if you have a computer that is just straight hot garbage juice spewing into your face and melting your eyeballs, you need to take it to Cody Akins at Akins PC Repair, because if it can be fixed, he'll fix it. If you need a new computer, you better go to him, because otherwise you're going to be wasting your money buying a brand new computer at a place like Best Buy or Micro Center or wherever. And that computer is going to be overpriced. It's not going to come with the same quality assurance that Cody gives every PC that he sells. And it won't be certified by him. Also, it's going to cost more because it's brand new, whereas the computers that Cody sells are refurbished, meaning they were used gently, and now he's selling them to you, and they're just as good as new, if not better. You know what? Maybe they're a little better because they're broken in, but they're definitely better because he has certified them. So go to AkinsPCRepair.com. Make my computer guy or your computer guy at AkinsPCRepair.com. All right. My final fact is this, and it took place during the Conquistadors' take of the Aztec Empire. Most stories out of that time are depressing and result in only, you know, the Aztecs being wiped out and murdered and the conquistadors gloating as they bathe in blood and gold. This one isn't. One day, the conquistadors got pretty close to the city walls of
Tenochtitlan.
Thank you. This is during the siege of Tenochtitlan, the Aztec capital. And they were getting pretty close to the walls and started building something out of wood. Aztecs looked out with interest, unable to hear the conversation. The Spanish seemed to argue among themselves a bit, with one guy throwing his weight around and pointing. And then they keep building with a few more arguments. Many hours later, construction is complete. Turns out they've been building a trebuchet, which is a fancy word for a
catapult.
Thank you. The Spanish finally start getting ready to fling some big rocks at the Aztecs. Aztecs watch as the Spanish fire the trebuchet and manage to fling a boulder about 20 feet into the lake that surrounds the city. More arguing, then they try again and manage to smash a hole in the wall of the marketplace. But the thing takes so long to aim, by the time it hits the Aztecs, that they've cleared all of their shit out of the way. The Spanish argue more, then wield the trebuchet away in shame. And it's never seen or heard from again. So basically what was happening was the Spanish were aiming the trebuchet. The Aztecs were like, I think it's going to come here. They would move their shit out of the way. The boulder would land to no effect. And then eventually the Spanish just eventually left until the event. You know, they took the city. I just wanted to get what, because I've been reading a lot about that time. And it doesn't make you feel good about yourself as a human being. In any way, shape, or form. Just a lot of man's inhumanity to man going on there. But I did like that story because it's kind of funny. It's kind of silly.
They're like, oh, what the hell is that thing? And then they see it hit the first, they're like, oh, okay. Got it. Okay, that's what Boom. That thing does.
Just move.
And then they re-aim it and they go, okay, it's probably going to land right about there.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of like if, like, you ever seen a drunk guy try to throw a punch? Yeah, he's telegraphing, oh, I'll get you. He's like doing a wind up and everything. Like, oh, okay, all right, I'll just move to the side. Then he swings and falls and hits the ground. It's kind of like that with the trebuchets. That's my fact, but an interesting addendum to that fact is, you know, the sound that you always think of when you hear a bomb dropping in a cartoon or a movie or whatever?
Thank you.
actually, that is not the sound of a bomb dropping. That would be the sound of the bomb going away. Because of the Doppler effect, which states that things get higher in pitch the closer they get to you, and lower in pitch the further away they go from you. So really, it would have sounded like this. And the reason, obviously, we get it backwards is because not a lot of sound from the ground where the drums, bombs are dropping, because things are exploding. So we're hearing it from the pilot's perspective. So our interpretation of that is based on the people up in the sky not dying, not the people on the ground. So.
Huh.
Yep.
That is a nice addendum. Bravo. Right.
Yeah, thank you. That could save your life if you hear the sound of... Like, it's not delight and grooving is in the heart to start it. It's not some child who stepped through a portal from the 1920s and is playing with a penny whistle out on the sidewalk while rolling one of those goddamn hoop stick things. It's not that either. It is a bomb, and you're going to die.
You hear, you're probably on a bomber.
Yep, yep, right, right. All right, James, what is your final fact?
My final fact, and this is admittedly, it's 16-year-old research, but video gamers make good surgeons is the headline.
Okay.
All those years on the couch playing Nintendo and PlayStation appear to be paying off for surgeons. Researchers found that doctors who spent at least 3 hours a week playing video games made about 37% less mistakes in laparoscopic surgery and performed the test 27% faster than their counterparts who did not play video games.
All right. So
I use the same hand-eye coordination to play video games that I use for surgery.
So if you are trying to find a doctor, go on Call of Duty, find the biggest smack talker, ask if he's a surgeon.
Yep.
It's just a process of elimination. Eventually, one of these motherfuckers is going to be a surgeon. And you go, okay, I'm going to go find you because I need this tumor removed. And I think you're the guy to do it.
And that is the one that might save your life. If you need surgery, do a little vetting. Make sure the guy's... Yeah. I mean, avid gamer, but...
Right, right. Maybe it'd
you don't
want
to spend too much time.
You bring the video game to them. Like, I love the idea of somebody who's got 5 weeks to live going, okay, but before I let you operate on me...
You got to beat me.
Here's a Nintendo Switch, okay? I need you to do a speed run of Mario 64. He's pulsating and bleeding. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Look it. If you can beat me in Mario Kart... then I'll let you operate on me. This is perfectly normal behavior. Just, if you're going to have surgery performed on you, especially if it's something, you know, pretty serious,
yeah,
vet your surgeon a little bit. Video games.
Yeah. And
or just get a vet. Just use a vet. They right. know a lot of stuff. They do all kinds of different animals.
Same thing. You bet your vet. By going to them and making them play video games before they can touch your dog. That's sound advice.
Hashtag vet your vet.
All right, on that note, we're done.
Take this, bitch.